Eternal God, our Father, we thank you right now for this opportunity that you've given us to minister by word and by way of inspiration, oh God. We even ask even now, Lord, that you would show up in this place, oh Lord. Stir up the spirit of the gift that you have placed within me on this evening, oh God, that your word, the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart may be acceptable in thy sight. Oh God, I ask that even now, God, that you'll take full control as I declare your word today, oh God, and hopefully this message will get to somebody that's going through the storms of life, oh God. And we know you're able today to do it, all things but fail. In the mighty name of Jesus, now, God, we ask that you hide me behind thy sacred cross, that you might be seen, edified, and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Our subject today will be coming from Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and verse 29. Reads on this wise, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And our subject today will be entitled, It's All Good. It's All Good. Before there was a when, a what, a why, a where, which, this or that, before there was a how or a how come, it was God who initiated a cosmetic order and which exists on today. After God had made the light, land, trees, waters, sun, moon, and stars, the fish for the mighty deep, the fowls of the air, after he made the beasts to roam in the forest, it was then when God made man into this world. This world was made by God for our board. It is for our accommodations. It is for us that the sun shine. It is for us that the wind blows. God made it all, stood back and watched it all, looking at it all, and that's when he said, it's all good. It is at that moment God allowed the world to become a world of opposites, because just as there can be no here, there is no there. Without an in, there can be no out, nor without an upper, there can be no lower, no right without a left. In like manner, there can be no good without evil. Though we live in a world of both good and evil, this passage tells us that all things work together for our good. This passage today is what I call God's greatest promises to all that believe in him. If it's not God's greatest promise, at least we can say it's one of God's greatest promises in all of the Bible. There are several things I want you to see in this one particular verse on today. Number one, I want you to see the certainty of God's promise. Secondly, I want you to see the completion. Thirdly, the cause. Fourth, the condition. Fifth, I want you to see the conclusion. And number six, I want you to see the consequences. There again, we see in verse number 28, our certainty, for we know. As a child of God, we ought to know that all things are working for our good. In other words, no matter how bad, no matter how terrible your life may be, one thing you can truly say is that I know that whatever situation I'm in, God is able to bring me through it. Knowing that God is able means that I can smile when I feel like frowning. Knowing God means that I can shout joy, victory, even though I might be in the midst of defeat. I know that all things work together for the good. Now watch this now. The enemy will try to confuse your mind to cause you to believe that the situation you're in is not working for your benefit. But I want you to know, child of God, today that if you're sure of the God that you serve, if you know without a shadow of a doubt that the God that you serve will bring you through and bring you out, you can truly say that I know is working for my good. I've never known a trial nor a situation that a child of God go through, and they know all the ins and outs before they in the midst of trouble. But one thing you ought to be certain of is that even though you're in the midst, you don't know how you're going to come out. You don't know how God is going to bring you out. You don't know when you're coming out. But one thing you ought to know is that God will make a way somehow. So the verse says today to us that I know, that's certainty. I'm sure. I'm sure that God is going to deliver on my behalf. I know. Number two, we have certainty. Number two, we have completion. Let's look again at this verse, verse 28. Verse 28 says, for I know all things. That means everything, every trial, every situation, every dark period in your life. He said all things. In other words, God knows our beginning before our end. In other words, our end has already been completed. But because the scripture says, verse 28 says, that all things, that means if today I've had my greatest day, my best day, I put my best foot forward, then by chance tomorrow may come, that may be my worst day, that may be the worst moment of my life. But God knows how to bring that good and that bad together to bring forth his purpose in my life. So that word completion shows us that all things are working for our good. So no matter where you are, no matter what you go through, no matter what you're up against, every time a storm show up, every time an obstacle is placed in your path, you ought to look at that situation and say, I know that is working for my good. You may have a wayward child. Your husband may not be doing right. Your wife may not be doing right. But you ought to look at that situation and say, I know that it's all working for my good. You may have lost your job. You may have been laid off. You may have received a demotion on your job. But don't look at it as though the enemy has gotten the best of you. But look at it as saying that all of these things are working for my good. And if you're going to be a successful child of God, you've got to be able to recognize your storms. You've got to be able to recognize your situations and don't allow them to put you in a place whereby you find yourself complaining. You find yourself in situations where you don't understand why you are going through. But how many of you know that today that you're going through because God is trying to bring you to that next level whereby you can see that where you were, that was only a temporary place, where God is saying in the same instance that in that temporary place, you've got to be willing to go through some things so that I can get you to the next level. So when you're looking at where you are, you ought to understand that everything that's placed in your way is all working for your good. Again, verse 28 says, so we see number one, that the certainty of the text is that we know, we are certain, we are sure, we have confidence in knowing that we don't know how God is going to do it, but we know that he is going to do it. Secondly, we see the completion. He's going to do what? He's going to allow all things that are working against you, all things that have been placed in your way, he's going to allow all of those things to work for your good. Now watch this. The cause is, verse 28 again, for we know that all things work together for good of them that love God. Okay, the cause is they're working. It's just like taking a vitamin C. In vitamin C, there are so many ingredients that are placed in that one vitamin, but vitamin C would not be vitamin C unless it had all the necessary ingredients in that one vitamin. In other words, if you took anything out of that one particular vitamin, you wouldn't get the full effect of vitamin C. But but God knows that even in our life today, he has to put everything in our way, in our lives, for it to work together for our good. So we see now the cause is that God wants it to work for your good. Now, many times we hinder ourselves because we won't allow God to work in his time, and we won't allow God to move in the areas of our life whereby he's trying to bring about a change. But in order for you to go to that next level, child of God, you've got to allow it to work on your behalf. In other words, you ought not to ask God, Lord, Lord, how long am I going to be in this storm? Lord, how long am I going to go through this pain? Lord, how long am I going to go through this pit? How long am I going to go through these lonely periods in my life? You ought not to question God. Just know that it has to work. In other words, God, where you are today, God has allowed you to go through what you're going through because he has specifically designed your trials, your tests, your circumstances. He designed them specifically for your life. And so in order for you to go to that next level in God, you've got to allow all these things to work for your good. And if you're going to see benefit today, if you're going to see results in your life, if you're going to see signs of maturity in your life, you've got to allow these things to work. So if anybody asks you why you're going through, you've got to let them know, child, I've got to go through it. I've got to encounter. I've got to endure this. If they ask you why in the world you keep smiling in the midst of your storms, you got to tell them, I got to keep on smiling. I've got to keep on trusting because where I am, God is trying to take me to a place I've never been before. He's trying to elevate me to a level I've never experienced before, but I've got to go through it. That shows us the cause is that we've got to go through. Don't let nobody fool you today to believe that as a child of God, you don't have to go through any storms. You don't have to go through any lonely periods in your life. You've got to go through it in order to get to it. So we see now that number one, we have certainty. Number two, we have completion. Number three, we see the cause. Fourth, I want you to see the condition. Now, in order for all things to work for our good, there is a condition. Back to the verse. Verse 28 says again that all things work together for the good for them that what? Love God. There is a condition. Now, everybody say that God is doing great things in life. Everybody say I'm blessed and highly favored. But let me show you something now. In order for all things to work for your good, you first have to love God. You have to have a love for God. Don't look at God as being a do-boy. Don't look at God as being someone that you call on and he began to pour blessings out of the sky. No, child of God, you've got to have a love for God. That's how God operates. That's how God moves through us. That's how God blesses us and takes us to that next level is because he understands our hearts are sincere. He understands the realness of our heart. In other words, so even though you're in the midst of the storm, you're in the midst of your trial, when God looks at your heart, he knows what you need before you even ask. He knows your desires before even it come to your mind. And so in other words, the condition is that we've got to love God. In other words, I got to have a relationship. I have to have a desire to get closer to God. Now, how many of you know that the closer you are to God, the more the enemy is going to try to bring all kind of havoc and troubles in your life? How do you know that the more you show God that I love you, the enemy is going to try to do all he possibly can to interrupt that relationship that you have with God? Because one thing the enemy understands is that the closer you are to God, is the harder it is for him to deter you or to cause you to turn back from the will of God. He knows that the closer you are to God, he realizes that the closer you are to your blessing. He knows that the closer you are to God, the closer you are to your breakthrough. He knows that the closer you are to God, that the more God's favor is upon your life. And the more of God's favor that is on your life, you can walk in unknown territories and God will cover you because the love you have in your heart. He knows that even in the midst of your storm, when you show the enemy that I love God, I have a desire to have a relationship with God, he knows that he cannot intercept the plan and the destiny that God has for you. But it starts with that condition. The condition is, he said, to all that love God. You need to ask yourself the question today, do I really love God? Do I really desire relationship with God? You'll be amazed at the number of people that say they love God, but yet they show no signs in their life of showing that they love God. And what I mean by that, to stay with the text today, I want you to understand, sometimes your love toward God is showing God that, Lord, I'm willing to go through this. I'm willing to stand in the midst of my storm. I'm willing, Lord, to stand by myself because my relationship with you is far greater than what I'm going through. My relationship with you is far greater than those that are around me, because one thing I've come to understand that when all else fail, because the love that you see in my heart, God, I know that I can still stand because of the love we have for God. So we see now certainty, completion, cause, and now the condition. The condition is we have to have a love for God. You're trying to figure out why you're able to stand in the midst of what you're going through. You're trying to figure out how is it that some that are going through some of the same things that you are going through, they've given up, they've thrown in the towel, they've turned away from God, they've turned away from the church, they've turned away from their family, they've turned away from their friend, and you're trying to figure it out. Let me show you how you're able to stand and sustain where you are. It's truly because you must have a desire, a love for God, because when God can see your heart, He will help you go through situations that nobody else could help you go through. He will bring you out of storms that nobody else could bring you out of, only because he knows what's in your heart. So we got to have a love for God. All right. Number five, the conclusion. The conclusion is all things are working together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, the conclusion is the reason why all things are working for your good is because of that last word in that last part of that verse where it says to his purpose, not our purpose, but to his purpose, to God's purpose. So the conclusion is, if you're asking yourself, why is it that I've had to go through what I go through? Why is it that I'm faced with these circumstances, these situations that are in my life? It's all because of God's purpose. His purpose for who? His purpose for your life. When you begin to understand that there is a purpose for your life, and sometimes your purpose is hid in the midst of the unseen. Sometimes you're looking for your purpose in places that you think that you ought to be, but many times your purpose is found in things that we seldom focus in on, and that thing is not our purpose, but the purpose that God has for us. Because anytime we try to find our purpose, we think that our purpose consists of things that we can touch, feel, or see. But oftentimes, God shows us that our purpose is in the midst of all the things that we are faced with. Your purpose can be found in the midst of your lonely periods of life. And so when we can understand that he said, according to his purpose, in other words, his purpose for your life is not just to go through what you're going through, but his purpose is that when you go through it, he wants to see the final results as it relates to your coming out of your situation. And then when we understand that going through that is only bringing us closer to our purpose. This is where I get excited, because we all are faced with circumstances and situations in our life. But what gets me excited is when I'm going through something. I don't look at it as saying, oh, God is picking on me. I don't look at it as though the devil is messing in my life. But every time I go through something, every time I'm faced with trial and tribulation, I can always look to God and say, God, you're getting me closer to my purpose. Every time I slip, every time I fall, every time I stumble, I can look to God and say, God, I can see your purpose coming closer and closer into my life. Every time you find yourself in a no way out situation, you ought to be able to look to God and say, I'm getting closer to my purpose. We all have a purpose, but you ought not to get it confused. Your purpose with God's purpose. Because one thing about our purpose is only temporary, but the purpose that God has for you is eternal. And so knowing that all things work together for your good is working because God has purpose for your life. So no matter where you are in life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've been up against, God has a purpose for you. Last but not least, I want to give you that last point, and that last point is the consequences. We'll find it in verse 29. Consequences. Listen to what it says now. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So again, not only does God have a purpose for your life, but going through and knowing that it's all working for your good. In this last point, we see that the conclusion is, after you've gone through every storm, every test, every trial, after you've been backed up against the wall, after the enemy has tried you on every hand, after he has caused havoc in your life, in your home, on your job, we see now that everything that's working for your good, listen to what the verse says again now. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be what? To be conformed to the image of his son. So the more we go through, the more we're up against, All it's doing is making us look more and more like his son, Jesus Christ. So the conclusion is, in verse 29, he said, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. The conclusion in all of this is that we have been chosen. I know I have been chosen. And that's why we can close here today knowing that all things are working together for my good. Why? Because I have been chosen. Don't shed tears for me. Don't try to hold my hand and tell me it's going to be up because I've been chosen. I've got to go through this. I've got to hold out. I've got to hold on because I have been chosen. Are you glad today to know that you have been called out by God? You have been chosen by God so that he can sit you out on the hill as a trophy to show that that's my child, the one that you said that wasn't going to amount to nothing. That's my child, the one that you said that wasn't going to make it. That's my child, the one that you threw your hands up on. That's my child. Why? Because I have been chosen. As we close here, I want you to know that being chosen means that God has his hands on you. Being chosen means that God has his hedge around you. As we look at Job, we notice that God had a hedge around Job. Job was chosen by God, as the Bible said, that he was an upright man. Why? Because God had chosen him. And knowing that he was chosen, the devil was not satisfied with the way that Job was living. He was not satisfied with the blessings that Job had. And one day in a church meeting, if you will allow me to use my imagination, the question was asked to Satan, where goeth thou? He said, I go to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. And I heard God say, have you considered my servant Job? And I heard Satan say, you won't let me get to Job because there is a hedge around him. And I heard God say unto Job, do what you will with him. You can have whatever you want to do with Job, but do not touch his soul. And while church meeting was going on, the Bible said that an angel came unto Job, brought Job some bad news. He told Job that all of your cattle are dead. And you would expect Job to pitch a pity party. Yes, you would expect Job to throw up his hand. But the Bible said, I hear him said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Oh Lord. And I heard another forerunner came and told Job that all of your camels have been dead. Yes, Lord. But I heard Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah. By that time, another forerunner came and told Job, Job, all of your children, are now dead. Do I have a witness here? And I hear Job say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Do I have a witness here? Yeah. I heard Job say, I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Do I have a witness here? Yeah. And by that time, the devil, he got in Job's wife. She said to him one day, Job, can't you see what the God is doing? Yes, Lord, I heard him say, why don't you curse God and die? Do I have a witness here? Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to wait until my chains come. Do I have a witness? is here. And I want you to know today that out of all the things that Job went through, Job knew that all things were working for his good. Lord, have mercy. And I don't know about you today, but whatever you're in, all things are working for your good. Do I have a witness here? It may be dark in your life, but all things are working for your good. You might have to cry sometime, yeah, but don't worry, all things are working for your good. Do I have a witness here? Yes, Lord, you might be sick. Doctor said you wouldn't get well, but all things are working for your good. Do I have a witness here? All things, the good is working. Tears in your midnight is working for your good. I'm glad today that even when I'm down, yes, Lord, I can look to the hills from which coming my help. All of my help comes from the Lord. I heard him say, I've had some good days and I've had some bad days. But when you put them all together, all things are working for my good. So when you see me walking along this journey and you're trying to figure out how can I hold my head up in the midst of my storm, I can truly say I'm not worried about what I'm going through. Because it's working for my good. And if I were you today, wherever you are in life, whatever you're going through, know that it's working. Know that it's working. Know that it's working. You ought to hold your head.